Welcome everybody back to 420 on the Block. I am Dr. Brian Hewlett, aka Dr. Life, and we are about to record another session of our On the Couch at 420 on the Block. And we've got some incredible guests with us today who all are involved in some form or other of either potentially or currently creating products that are infused or involve hemp or marijuana or cannabis. So, and we want to talk about that. We want to talk about, ups and downs of having products like that, talk about some of the products and what they do, and then talk about issues and have a good time on this topic. So, but before we do that, we need to know who we got on the couch, right? Hey, welcome everybody. So why don't we start...
Happy Earth Day! Happy Earth Day!
Thank you, Mother Gaia.
We are going to talk about products. All of these guests are involved with companies that are either infused with hemp, cannabis, and marijuana. And we're going to talk about some of their products, talk about why that's a good thing, talk about a little bit of maybe sustainability and how this can help the environment and all those wonderful things. And but before we do that, we need to first know who our guests are, right? So. Again, welcome everybody, and let's start over here and tell us who you are.
Thank you for having me. I'm Kelly, and I work with Pure Vibe. Pure Vibe makes a disposable vape pen with a distillate THC oil and a cartridge. So we are here promoting our product and hoping that lots of people would like to try it.
Nice. I'm Parker with Encounter Hat Co. We make custom hats, make them fit your head. And it's a product that we wanted to come up with something that would be earth friendly, so we're gonna come out with a hemp hat. And get in contact with us, but we came to be a sponsor to just support that earth friendly lifestyle.
Nice. And notice I also have an account. Awesome.
I'm Axie Blunden, CMO and co-founder of Straight Hemp. We are a social enterprise providing full-spectrum CBD wellness products to the public, to the world. Much love. Happy Earth Day.
Ryan Blakesley, Hemp and Heal. I am VP of Sales and also a partner. And what I'm trying to do is bridge that gap of counterculture and mainstream.
Awesome. What's up? My name is Jonah Bolt, and I'm a founder and owner of Hemp and Heal. And our mission basically is to really educate and get with compliancy through the medical community. So our product line that we put out right here is basically in 4 hospitals, pain clinics, and detox centers, and we're also stocking pharmacies across the country. So we're after the medical community because people listen to their doctors. So our product line is targeting, we have the highest milligram out there, 7,000 milligram, full spectrum, and we're just rocking it. We're here to educate. Compliancy is the main thing as well, doing things, triple party testing, and putting out full spectrum products, full spectrum where it's at. Thanks for having us.
Well, let's first just start generally on hemp, right? Since today is Earth Day, and our topic is based on a general topic today about hemp as a sustainable kind of product, right? And so let's talk about first, what's the difference between hemp, cannabis, marijuana, or is there a difference for our viewers out there? Because this is Earth Day and it's about hemp, because we heard some differences in what you have infused in your products, and we can talk about that after we find out what's the difference, right? Mm-hmm. All right, who wants to start with
that? I classify cannabis as the family, marijuana is the female, which you get the buds from, and the male is the hemp. Okay. And then between those different strains, you have like what we grow, Sativa L, for the best for extraction of medicinal products, and you have different ones for fibers and different ones for different products. So that's why I break it up. The male is the hemp and the female is the marijuana that has the buds. Cannabis is the family name. Okay. That's how I would put it to you.
Or you could just break it down by THC levels as well, because we grow females.
There you go. Exactly. You know?
So it's, the federal government classifies hemp as cannabis sativa that is below 0.3% THC. Whereas anything above that is marijuana. So, for example, in Colorado, we operate under, we grow organically in Colorado, we operate under the Colorado Department of Ag, as opposed to the Marijuana Enforcement Division. And when they come out there and test our hemp plants in the field, if they're below 0.3%, they're good. We're covered under the Farm Bill. They're legal hemp plants. If they're above 0.3% THC, they're hot and they're considered marijuana and they're required to be disposed of, you know, because they're not regulated. They'll make you destroy your plants and like burn, you know, get rid of it.
Yeah. 70% of farmers, I believe, in this country this year had to burn their crops, their hemp crops, because they're over 0.3%.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, others, anybody else want to chime in?
Just that I found out that instead of using like a straw hat overseas, we can use a hemp hat that's just made here and it's going to be just as sustainable.
Okay.
Even more, yes.
So does it, I mean, because one of the things we're talking about is hemp is sustainable. So if the hemp plant has less THC, does the THC inside the plant create a different strength pattern that makes it more usable in, say, materials like a hat?
Well, the hemp is grown differently for fiber and for, you know, building materials and things like that. Yeah. So what we're talking about with the THC levels, that applies to the, you know, hemp for CBD, hemp for cannabinoids, hemp that's grown specifically for cannabinoids, which is entirely different from hemp that's grown for fiber, building material, things like that. Like that's a stalky, you know, it's a different species in the same family, you know,
right,
more like
right,
the...
Right. But is that species less amount of THC in that species?
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. But just like what happened in January 1st in California, they passed a now law, because we called the CBC, cannabis falls under the category of anything that has a cannabinoid, hemp and THC.
Right.
And that's why there's a big problem in California right now, because pharmaceutical companies came in, passed the law, that cannabis is cannabis. It doesn't matter 0.3 or less or 0.2, hemp is cannabis, marijuana is cannabis, you have to be licensed distributor, and they knocked out all the mom and pop shops like that overnight. A lot of them anyways.
But then also knocks out the ability to use it in a product.
Correct. Because now there's people sitting with 100,000 pounds worth of hemp and they can't do anything with it because they're not licensed to sell it to a licensed, you know, dispensary or someone who makes hats or anything like that, right? That's
mm-hmm.
that's the issue. It's a big issue. Big farmers stepping in.
So, wow, that sounds like then maybe based on the political structure, you have more of an opportunity to use it or less of an opportunity, which may affect why you all have different things in your different products.
And it's an interesting thing that you bring up too, because, you know, many people, a lot of us in Colorado and California, kind of understand this, and we kind of take that for granted. But when you go to other states, they don't get this difference.
Absolutely.
And to be honest, even my company, we take the bud and we have a process of distilling it, which is a big confusion too. That's how we get the oil so that we manufacture through a CO2 process that we can then make and smoke. That's a big, you know, we think we're all in the same, it is the same plant, but there's a lot of confusion. And
right,
I think
right,
that's
right.
a big
People
push
understand.
For
yeah.
you guys who I, do this to I, understand
I,
that.
Yeah. I think that we need to delineate the difference here. So hemp is a commodity.
Absolutely.
Okay? It's a world commodity. So not only can you eat it, not only can you smoke it, vape it, right?
Rub it on your skin.
Not only can you rub it on your skin.
Water soluble IV.
But it's bigger than that. It's insulation. It's fuel, right? Green energy.
Mm-hmm. Steel.
Right? It's biodegradable plastic. It heals the planet, right? If they grew hemp around Fukushima, people, the impact that would have, it would soak the radiation right out of the ground. People don't realize that. Hemp,
as a
literally,
filter? As a filter.
Yeah, it's a regenerative crop.
It can literally save the world. You can create, and this is why my belief, this is why the powers that be are so shook on hemp, because you can literally create an economy just on hemp.
It can, over 50,000 items.
Right now, our world government, the world, not just our government, right? We're on petrol. We're on oil. Our economy is ran globally on oil. You could literally switch it to hemp. Literally.
Well, we definitely knew that at the beginning
yeah.
of the United States. We know that George Washington grew hemp. Based
you were
on
required to grow hemp.
You were
yeah, for over 200 years.
You were required to grow hemp.
By law, you had to grow hemp in America.
So
we're all wearing jeans here. Right. All of the first jeans were made of hemp, and they switched it to cotton because it was more lucrative, because there was more profit to be made, because there was more.
And hemp? Antibacterial.
Yep.
Hemp clothing is antibacterial.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Never mind all the toxins going through your biggest organ in the body, which is your skin, from the cotton products. Right. This stuff can literally save the world.
Well, and to your point there,
I truly believe it.
Hemp oil also matches the natural sebum of your epidermis, the largest organ on our body, our skin. The hemp oil most closely matches the natural oils that the human produces. So they're using like a hemp cleanser as opposed to soap, which washes away all those oils and wicks you of these antibacterial, you know, oils. Hemp restores them and maintains them.
It also puts the most oxygen back into the air, like they're killing the Amazon, which is the lungs of the planet. Hemp produces the most CO2 back to the atmosphere again, which we need. And it's a weed.
It grows in wintertime, summertime,
it grows all year round.
Right.
It's a weed. It grows everywhere, anywhere.
So not to mention 10 times the paper product, you know,
the magnitude of this plant, that brings me back to my earlier statement saying it's a commodity.
Right.
That's exactly what it is. This is a world commodity.
Well, the term commodity, being a social scientist, of course we know, has been kind of co-opted.
Yes.
Because commodities basically are resources that are consumable and necessary for human existence. So, but of course we've kind of modified that term. Not we per se sitting in this room, but we know what we're talking about. The larger structure to say things like money are commodities because it's fungible, and that's not necessarily what a commodity is. Commodities are things that are necessary for humans to exist, like water, you know, earth, soil to grow food, right? Food, shelter, keeping us from the elements. All those things that humans need to survive. So if hemp is a commodity, that's saying that it's something that needs to survive.
The number one commodity is us.
Is
our endocannabinoid system. All mammals have it. Mm-hmm. So we talk about commodities. The number one commodity is for every human and mammal to be taking cannabinoids on a daily basis to keep you in optimal health. If your receptors aren't firing and your mammal, your dogs, your cows, everything, why cows and horses get all jacked up, they're also healthy their whole lives, they're eating phytocannabinoids. Yeah. Cannabinoids are found in rosemary, liverwort. Oh, cannabinoids are found all over, not just in cannabis.
Breast milk.
That's where cannabinoids come from. Mother's breast milk. That's where you get it. So unless you're getting cannabinoids on a daily basis or it's every other day or whatever, your receptors aren't firing, you're not in optimal health. To me, health is the number one commodity.
So I think you guys definitely made a case already for hemp being something that can be sustainable or help us to be more of a sustainable society by something that's regenerative, which is another part of sustainability. Not just using and consuming, but using and consuming something that we can regenerate itself and that we can help regenerate it.
I see something like this. I see something like this as a foundation for a new society.
Yeah,
I really do.
So let's move to that because we all know that just with anything, just like alcohol after prohibition ended, just like smoking stuff,
tobacco,
that there's regulation and it's all structural.
That's right.
And we know right now, let's face it, Big Pharma and other people are in control of that structure through those dollars, which they are telling us is a commodity, which is really just a piece of paper that we make believe or we give more power to and authority to when we don't need to. If we can really work together as community to create a different kind of situation, we know that obviously that there might be better outcomes. So how do you guys all sitting here think we need to get to a space where we have more political or financial or structural power to actually demand the non-use of things?
I think, piggyback what Ryan said, is you got to create the model, the pilot program, to show the people how to do it. So our main goal of Hemp and Heal is to build self-sustainable communities powered by hemp to house the veterans, house the homeless that are self-sustainable, off-grid, self-powered, to make 50,000 different products from hemp, which is their revenue stream to keep paying property taxes or whatever else you need. That's what's missing, is a working model to show people. Unless, as they say, if you build it, they will come. Everyone can talk about a new society and the vision. So we actually just got 50 acres up in right outside Asheville, North Carolina, and we're have veterans right now building solar panels, soon growing hemp, and we're building housing for 25 veterans to live there for free.
From Hempcrete.
Eat for free. Hempcrete is involved, yep. Housing for free, work for free, education for free. You just gotta work 40 hours a week. Simple. That's it. Food, water, all your supplies, simple. And show that pilot program and duplicate it, replicate it.
Yeah, build it, they will come. Yeah. That's the idea.
That's it.
Other thoughts on this?
Well, yeah.
No, go ahead.
I was just saying, like, you know, in a broader sense, we're seeing that happen, you know, with the farm bill, you know, allowing hemp, and then, you know, Colorado last year was like, you know, under 20,000. This year it's like almost 200,000 acres we're planting, you know, of hemp in the state. And so we're seeing these microcosms, we're seeing crime drop, we're seeing, you know, we're seeing opioid use drop, we're seeing, you know, we're creating these microcosms, you know, here in all the other progressive, you know, legal states, and showing that. And as a country with the farm bill, you know, North Carolina, the Southeast, it's like regenerating the agrarian economies,
yeah,
that were forgotten about. And so it's incredible to see it, you know, bringing people from all walks of life, all sides of the aisle. You know, it's apolitical. It's like,
absolutely,
when you realize it, you see that it's good for you,
absolutely,
it's good for your people, it's good,
yeah,
for the planet,
yeah,
and you get behind it no matter where you come. Cause politics
unified,
comes down to like a team mentality,
that's
where
it.
It's like when the ref calls against your team, you boo,
right,
the ref.
Yeah.
That's what politics is. They don't see it like,
right,
they don't see it. It's,
right,
it's black and white. It's like we're on this team, we're on this team. Hemp is like a whole other message, a whole other campaign. Yeah, we're all,
right,
together.
It's,
now,
a,
that's
it's
the
a grassroots foundation.
Right. Yeah.
It's a grassroots,
right. Right. That's
organic.
The challenge that,
yeah,
we have. Right? You brought up a very interesting point, apolitical. It is apolitical. Now, how can we bridge that gap?
Mm-hmm.
Counterculture to the mainstream.
Right.
Right. How can we be inclusive?
Mm-hmm.
That's, these are the questions we need to ask ourselves, okay? You know, how do we bridge that gap?
Yeah.
You know, I think in a way that we bridge that gap is just branding, so that we can get rid of a lot of the stigmas mainstream has.
Right. Mm-hmm.
In regards to the counterculture, right? It's, this is a lifestyle, right?
Yeah.
It truly is a lifestyle.
Cultural
and,
lifestyle.
And it is apolitical. It is inclusive of everybody.
Mm-hmm.
But how do we communicate that?
Yeah.
That's the question we need to ask ourselves as leaders in the industry.
I just had a question. It might not be exactly where you were going, but when we were talking about the politics of it and where the government is as far as law, the federal government versus the state level, is hemp more accepted from the federal government?
Moving
it across state lines as opposed
30,
to where THC,
yeah,
is.
30 states passed what they're called pilot programs last year,
okay,
which means through a university we can legally grow hemp and market,
okay,
different products. So that's what we did, is we strategically aligned ourselves with the oldest pilot program in the country. So we're compliant under USDA. We have a license to process and handle hemp, and we do it through, you know, the FDA, USDA.
So you can move your product
across
state lines,
regardless,
no,
of state law.
Yep.
So even if California says cannabis, not what the bill says,
gotcha,
not what Congress says.
Right.
That's not what the
But that's
law
important
said.
For branding,
extreme,
for everything,
absolutely,
that you just brought up.
Absolutely.
This is important for people like Parker. I mean, you guys have to make sure that you can, if you make a hat,
yeah,
that's hemp.
Yeah, we're still trying to figure out the way
to distribute it across. What's your demand? I mean, do you have a demand? Do you feel like people?
Just being here at the festival, even making hats, you know, people are interested in the hemp line, just like the vendors next to us, and you know, just being about our, we call these lifestyle hats, just like what it represents, just like kind of it is a culture, but maybe if we can, you know, push it past state lines and stuff like that around. But yeah, even like me, I'm not really, we're trying to get the hemp hat done, but you know, it's still tough to do.
Yeah,
there's bills being passed.
Okay, cool. Well, where were we? So we talked about what we can kind of do to make, so this is the new funding act that's not passed yet, you're saying?
That's right. They're working on it. So there is
a change
in Congress, state,
right,
funding pass, trying to pass it. So at least there are people pushing for it.
Yeah.
So that's the good thing, is people are waking up.
So
that's
well, and that's where I come from. I mean, I come from a space of social psychology, of consciousness. We can't ignore that people have been socialized, not just by the structure, but socialized by friends and family. You know,
yeah,
when they hear the term hemp, or they hear the term marijuana, or the term cannabis, they think, oh, something that needs to be hands-off.
Right. Yeah.
So versus, oh, something that can just be like cotton that's in my clothing, you know? So that's another issue, is that consciousness. So, you know, it's kind of like we've seen, going back to like alcohol, the alcohol ads, like responsible drinking and things like that, you know, or...
Responsible drinking.
Right, responsible drinking, right? You know, unfortunately, we may, you know, or this industry in terms of when you say we, are just going to, you know, have to maybe follow suit in that. So,
agreed.
What would you guys say is a great campaign to be able to get people to change their consciousness?
I think a quote what Buckminster Fuller said. Buckminster Fuller said, "You don't go against the system that is not working. You create the new system to make the old system obsolete."
Yeah.
And I think that's what we're doing with hemp.
That reminds me of Henry Ford. If you asked the people what they wanted, they would say a faster horse.
Right. Rather than something that would, you know.
Now, to touch on my partner's statement, absolutely, I agree 100%. We need to build a new system, but play devil's advocate on my buddy.
Yeah, yeah. Right? We like devil's advocate.
That's right. That's how we learn. That's how we learn. Right. That's why he's on the team.
I think my opinion is that the powers, once again, the powers that be, big pharma, government.
Hold it. Sorry, Debbie.
Yeah, of course.
Where did you start back at?
Give me a second. Pretty much right before you started talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
So keep your thought. Don't lose it.
That's it. You give me a platform, I'll melt it off.
You're doing good.
It's a great conversation.
Wait till you see some of the other ones. Oh my gosh.
I don't want to watch them all.
We had the governor of Governor Kansas.
Yeah, I was in here for that one.
Yeah, that was very cool. And then who else? We had another special guest. Oh, we had the CEOs. You missed that one.
Yeah.
I called you.
Hopefully. I know, yeah.
But we had all the CEOs.
We'll see them tonight.
Big sponsors of the stages and stuff. That was a really good one. And with Christina Sasser from Glass. She was the CEO of the Glass Company, and because they don't even have any glass, you know, and stuff. Like, are you kidding me? It's one of the major
that's true.
Sectors.
Yeah, that's
absolutely.
Absolutely.
Right. It's okay.
Thanks. Actually, with you gentlemen, yeah, be mindful of that because you do tend to disappear behind them.
Oh, okay.
Do we need to do another clap?
Yeah.
To start?
Yeah.
Please.
There you go.
1, 2, 3.
Yeah, so I believe that the powers that be, right, they're aware of this. They're aware of the shift. They know they can't put the toothpaste back in the tube, right? you can't do it. It's out there. And they know that we're in a dying system, okay? And right now I think it's a power struggle. I really do. Big Pharma and the politicians, they know the power in hemp, in industrial hemp.
Yeah.
They know the power. They know that it's a commodity. Mm-hmm. They know they can build a new system on a commodity. Right, they have everybody's buy-in. They've been working it for years.
They got patents on it.
Right, they've been working it for years. They've been laying the groundwork. Not only that, but the brainwashing in a lot of people. Right, as far as green energy, this is good. These are all good things. But the government's playing both sides of the coin. Right, the powers that be are playing both sides. Okay, so that when they're ready to play that card, they'll be the saviors. They'll come in and saying, "Hey, we got this.
Swoop in and save us.
We have this great new foundation that we need to hit the reset button on." Okay, it's just a matter of time.
And it does have a stigma too, like you just mentioned, Doctor, earlier. The stigma is still very real, and I think education is a huge part of it.
It's the main
with companies like you. I'm from Chicago, and I've been in this state for 5 years, and I've been in the industry for a couple of years. My friends in Chicago even are like, "Whoa. You do what?" You know, and I back in an old life of mine, I sold pharmaceuticals.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
That was acceptable
pharmaceuticals.
Yeah, right.
So now I consider myself, you know, working with Pure Vibe, I sell a different kind of pharmaceutical. But there's still a big stigma in that education with companies like yours, with companies like ours that are branding ourselves, being branding a big deal. We have to address that stigma so that then the rest does follow too.
The education is the most important thing.
Absolutely.
And that's why we do live education every month for doctors. We do live doctor trainings every month for doctors anywhere in the world can join on. And we have the ex-colonel of the U.S. Army, Colonel Philip Blair, who's the head medical doctor for the entire U.S. Army, run those webinars. So all of our pharmacists and doctors can educate themselves because that's what needs to be done.
But let's talk from an educator perspective and still stay in this space of structural limitations, because my foundation in Ministry of Life is representative of limitless ideas and free environments, trying to free people from limitations to create environments of freedom. And education with people like Betsy DeVos, I'm gonna just call people out, and other education administrators who are, instead of thinking what's the best education system to educate people on these in this kind of issues and sustainability to change consciousness, they'd rather create programs that are going to educate people on how to be workers and to be drones for a society that those people like Big Pharma, consumers to be consumers. Yeah. So how do we combat that? What is your, let's not think it's all pie in the sky, people, because it ain't, right?
So. The easiest way we do it is we give doctors script pads, get the doctors prescribing the medicine. This is the only way we got in hospitals, is compliancy and education, and by teaching doctors, doctors know doctors. The best chance we have is going after the medical community. Everyone, 9 out of 10 people will say, I gotta check with my doctor first. I gotta check with my doctor. I don't know if it's show up.
And that's traditional medicine versus we
now,
we do
show
have doctors.
30, am I gonna show up, you know, in my blood, like, you know, I showed up for marijuana in my test, because 60% of the country gets drug tested.
Right.
So big, you know, we run up against these, all of us run up against these issues. So the doctors are the most important. Yoga teachers, trainers, anyone that has any type of impact on someone's health. Fitness trainers,
everybody,
educators, everyone listening
to
the
doctors. So you're suggesting coalition building. So
yes.
We should build coalitions of doctors, build
Absolutely.
Coalition of industry, build coalition of educators, and then actually fight with those coalitions together to make sure that structural defenses are not happening.
Well,
just to touch on that, strategically, like I said earlier, how do we bridge that gap, right? Growing up in our culture and our society, there's only a few professions that you as an individual listen to, right?
Yes.
Other than your parents,
yes.
right? One of them is your doctor, right? So that is one way to bridge this and get rid of that stigma. You find this in everybody's medicine cabinet,
that's right.
Okay? They're gonna receive this. Not only is this helping me out, because this is something that I find very interesting when I started to take my hemp tincture daily, okay, the full spectrum.
What happened this
morning? Oh, put me right. It got me centered. I was like out of it for a couple days, just living out of your suitcase. I was just like, all right, I need some tincture, because I forgot mine. But what happens when you actually, you have this in your regimen, your daily regimen, you feel good. Your attitude's in the right place.
Absolutely.
You're positive. There's just something that happens internally when you are doing this that's absolutely amazing. So, you know, hemp, is, like I said, it's more than just, am I going to vape it? It's more than just, am I going to make clothes with it? Okay, it is truly a lifestyle. It really is. And it's very easy. When somebody feels good and they're healthy, okay, things can start to happen. Not to mention,
and I just want to
make sure that I bring this up, because this is very serious, and it's dear to me, is that we have an opiate crisis.
Yes
that's where
okay.
I was. Yep.
Yeah, we have an opiate crisis right now, and nobody, including our government, has solutions.
Well, that's mainstream correct. Medicine, which you were discussing, mainstream medicine, using your PharmaPad, there is a gap, and you talking about bridging gaps.
Right.
One of the issues with this is, you know, having called on doctors before, mainstream doctors don't necessarily, that gap hasn't been bridged to doctors of osteopathic medicine,
right.
doctors that are willing to say, you know, the doctor
yeah.
I had when I first got my med card, you know, of course.
Well,
you
doctors
know,
have told us they only make
different.
Money if they write scripts for opiates. Doctors have said that to us.
Yeah.
I can't make money unless I prescribe opiates
and
or chemo.
There are two different kinds. Those doctors have to come together, and I think the doctor that I grew up going to, my whole life, isn't necessarily ready to say, you know, Kelly, you know, go out and
smoke some pot,
or take, you know, vape your Pure Vibe pen or whatnot. We all know that because of the opioid crisis, that there is medicinal, there are medicinal benefits.
Absolutely.
And it's still that gap. We need more education. And I'm not sure when mainstream medicine is going to accept.
Studies have
time.
That.
It's happening.
It's on PubMD.
It's on PubMD that shows it
blocks your receptors from opiates. Within 7 days of administering full spectrum, your body doesn't crave opiates anymore.
I totally agree with you all in that's important that we need to get that out there.
Mm-hmm.
And but the channels by which we get that information mm-hmm. are still very far few
exactly.
between and controlled. I think with people like Encounter Hats and people like Straight Hemp, we're seeing all companies like that are diversifying the release of this information into our communities is what's necessary. We can't funnel try to just get one thing happening, because just as we know, a crab basket syndrome, when one crab tries to get out of the basket,
oh boy,
this structure, which is the rest of the
right.
crabs, pulls that one
right.
down. So, but if 10 of those crabs
it's
are all
be
trying
a blitz
to get in the basket, it's gotta be a blitz campaign. Gotta be a blitz
campaign. I like that.
Awesome. So I think we're definitely close to out of time, because my little thing just went off. But so let's just end this.
Hey, can I just say one more thing with
yes.
the opiates? 80 people in America die every day from opiates,
mm-hmm.
and out of those 80 people, out of four, 80%, three out of Native Americans. So out of every four people that die every day, three of those are Native Americans that are dying off the opiate crisis. That needs to be addressed. No one's talking about that.
Well,
and that's a big problem.
That's hopefully we can do something, and we've talked about
absolutely.
Doing something with the foundation.
That's right.
And Hemp and Heal, and maybe we can get Pure Vibe and
it's a great idea.
Straight Hemp all together
mm-hmm.
to work on starting a fund that will help research to show, with
mm-hmm.
research showing what's the difference between opiates outcomes and hemp and marijuana outcomes, and that would be wonderful. Talk more about that, so all of you guys look for that. But for now, we're gonna have to say thank you to all of our guests.
Awesome.
Thank you.
And look for all of their products, the Hemp and Heal, Straight Hemp, Encounter Hats, Pure Vibe, who's one of our major education and advocacy sponsors here. Thanks to these guys for doing this. And we also have a couple of other sponsors we want to thank, KGNU for promo, Talk Launch for helping us with some equipment. We've got Spectra Art Space. We've got the Weed Stream that we're here in, hanging out.
Yeah,
thank you
cool.
guys all so much. And all of the other production crew who's behind the camera, you can't see them.
Can I give a shout out?
Give a shout out.
I'll give a shout out to little girl Hunter, 15 years old, who we helped get off seizures. To little all the children
awesome.
Out there, all the people,
that's
all
awesome.
The lives are saving. Thank you all.
Hey, Hunter, have a wonderful Earth Day.
Happy Earth Day.
Happy Earth Day.
Everybody.
Peace, y'all.
Peace.